This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, news from the nest. Total request Thursday. Ravens rookie minicamp coming up on it's this weekend, but it's open to the media on Sunday. Let's get back to Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic, his depth chart post-draft. Keep in mind, you've still got another waiver free agency and all that fun stuff going along. We left off yesterday at inside linebacker. Let's get to cornerback here, and we've got Marlon Humphrey.
Yes.
Nate Wiggins, Chidobe Awuzie, TJ Tampa, Jalen Armour Davis. Then you have Bilal Cohn, who Gianna Han was talking about, and Robert Longerbeam, who we'll talk about, I guess, at a later date. But those are the names in pursuit of starting spots or just roster spots in general. Seems like a pretty deep class, but Armour Davis is always the wild card for bad reasons, unfortunately.
I think Bilal Cohn or Longenbeam show anything, and Bob, both. The problem with Robert Longenbeam from Rutgers, he's 5'11", 175, and Bob, he's little, and he doesn't tackle that well, you know, so he'll be a special teams type guy. Where Bilal Cohn, he's kind of an interesting guy because he's 6'1", 190, and I think he's got a chance, you know, to do something. So if Armour Davis tweaks anything or what, you know, they may keep him around for depth for camp and stuff, but I think these two young guys, they'll be coming in to play on special teams and stuff because – I mean, Armour Davis, you know, can he play two games in a row? I mean, he's always hurt. I think they're just looking to replace him, to be totally honest.
But you go out to camp, OTAs, mandatory, and all that good stuff, and it's like, hey, looks good, then didn't practice today.
No.
When they do the attendance report. A very frequent occurrence, by the way.
His whole career. That was his problem at Alabama. That's why, you know, he got drafted later. So I think they want Cohn or Longerbean to beat him out. And I'll be shocked, Bob, if he's on a 53 by, what, August when it's cut down time or September, whenever it is.
We talked about this month ago, I guess. Maybe not even that long. Like, players we're all looking forward to seeing. For me, TJ Tampa. My intrigue level with him is pretty high.
And I totally agree,
Bob. What are they going to do with this guy?
I liked him. I loved him at Iowa State, watching him on film, you know, and because he's a talented guy. And I asked him about them about playing safety, but it doesn't seem like that's in the cards for them because they took Starks, you know, and they got Washington. So he's got to probably play on the inside. I don't know that he's fast enough. We'll see. But he's long. He'll tackle, and he plays the ball good. So the only thing he doesn't have is really good catch-up speed. But he's a really good football player. So, yeah, I'll be anxious. And, Bob, how about – I mean, the other guy that we want to see, too, is Penn State pass rusher.
Adeez Isaac.
Yeah, Isaac. I mean, when I watched him when I was out there and stuff – you know, he was never in shape enough to really show what he could do because he never had burst.
Now, let's get to safety, which is probably the strength of this team, or one of, anyway. Hamilton, Malachi Starks, Darius Washington, who you mentioned. You have Kane and Bo Braid, two second-year guys. if there's veteran assistance needed at a defensive position with safety rate as maybe one of those, cornerback or any, on the defense, if they're looking to bring in a veteran or two, what's the most likely scenario for linebacker, line,
I
DB?
Think inside back. I think, Bob, at safety, they're fine. And I think it'll come down to Kane or Bo Braid. One of the two is not going to make it. And both played special teams. Kane did a really nice job on teams. I think, you know, Kane would have the edge there. I don't think they're going to bring in any more corners, but I think they're going to need a veteran inside backer just because Simpson has got to take – if Simpson doesn't take that next step up, they need a starter. They need – because Buchanan's not a starter. Hummel's not a starter. So they would need somebody to come in and start. So I think where they get veteran – defensively, where they bring in a veteran is at inside backer, D-tackle. You know, I mean, they've got plenty of numbers at outside backer and stuff, but the two D-linemen – and an inside backer. I think they need three on the defensive side.
Now, we look at these specialists. Were you surprised?
I was shocked, Bob.
That Tucker's been there as Gianna Hahn told us an hour or so ago.
I'm surprised in one way and not surprised in the other. Because if you're Tucker, Bob, if you don't show up, you're kind of saying, hey, I'm guilty. If I show up and I'm going as normal, told you, you know, I'm not...
He's fighting this.
So I think it would have to be up to the Ravens to tell him not to come. So with him being in the building and working out, Bob, I would think that go to OTAs and all that. He's going to be there. He's going to be there and until they tell him to leave, he's going to be there.
Nolan, you get in on this one too because we've talked about it. I'm just thinking, and I'm usually wrong, they drafted Loop knowing that when they kick off, pun intended, 2025, Justin Tucker's not going to be there. They would not, because if Tucker gets cleared, for instance, and he's Justin Tucker, Tyler Loop's not making the team. They drafted him with the assumption that Justin Tucker's not going to be around for a while.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where the interesting conversation comes in. We don't know how long the suspension's going to be, but let's just say... I don't know, 4 games, random number. So you need another kicker for the first 4 weeks. But after that, it becomes a very interesting topic. How is Loop performing through those 4 weeks? Are you willing to bring Tucker back after that point? I think there's a lot of factors at play here. How do they both look in training camp? I mean, I think the Ravens would probably prefer if one of those guys, or more so Tucker, kind of looks a little more shaky over the summer. That way it's a much easier cut. That way they can say, well, between the off-the-field stuff and he didn't look great in training camp, just get rid of him, clean slate, we're starting over. But something tells me it won't be that easy.
No, nothing's ever easy. Well, you know what makes it easy is that if Loop goes out there and kicks well, because he's going to get all the preseason kicks, you know that. And if Tucker's gone, let's say Tucker gets suspended 4 games and he hadn't missed and he's made 2 over 50. You know, because if you cut him, you know what's going to happen? You'll never see him again. I think then you're like, well, we're going to restart the clock. You know, we'll move with the young guy and get rid of the old guy. We save cap money that way, too.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch, 1 o'clock. More football talk coming your way. We'll talk Steelers, as a matter of fact, bottom of this hour with Will Graves from the Associated Press. But coming up next, it's buy or sell. Where's the dough? Talk about the many sports subjects as well, like the Orioles taking 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Second series win of the season. April is gone. Thank God. Now we're at May 1st. Tomorrow, Kansas City comes to town. We got your American League East report later in the show.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Penny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Total Request Thursday, pick a song, we'll play it, send your request, plus board text line, no one's waiting for you. Get your votes in, Featured Artist Friday. We got that coming your way in about an hour and a half. Orioles beat the Yankees, win the series. Kansas City coming to town. Ravens rookie camp this weekend. Opening the media on Sunday. Caps advance. Lakers are donezo. Tons of boxing coming up starting tomorrow in Manhattan. Times Square with that triple header. with Teofimo Lopez and Devin Haney. Bill Haney was not, no relation, no relation. Bill Haney was fighting with Oscar De La Hoya. There's all kind of Ryan Garcia. Oh, it's going to be epic. But let's count some money. Where's that Kentucky Derby money, which is also this weekend? Buy yourself.
Yeah, we got a little money working for the Derby. Dow's up 160. S&P's up 47. NASDAQ's up 311. DraftKings, they're down 3 cents. Under Armour, they're up 8 cents.
All right, let's get things started today in the NFL, where Nick Emenwori, well, he was right there with Malachi Starks being linked to the Ravens in mock drafts. In the end, he landed in Seattle, which might make even more sense considering Mike McDonald's leading the way over there. He was instantly asked, Mike McDonald that is, about finding his own version of Kyle Hamilton, a player that he was able to utilize really well when he was calling the Ravens defense. And McDonald says he sees plenty of comparisons between the two players. Vinny, are you buying or selling that McDonald can get similar instant results out of Emenwori as he did with Hamilton in 2022?
I'll buy it because he's similar size and speed and all those things. I think he's a good player, and he's going to use him to blitz and do all those things. And I think he has a much better feel, Mike McDonald, how to use that guy and put him in the positions. So yeah, I think he'll have a big year.
Over to the NBA, the Bucks, they're at a crossroads with their roster structure right now. Another early playoff exit, clouded by Dame Lillard's injury, but the Greek Freak, he remains an elite presence that any team would want to build around. But as we know, in today's NBA, star players are willing to jump ship at the drop of a hat. Giannis has said in the past that he wants to stay in Milwaukee, but not at the expense of losing. People are theorizing that he'll be on the trade block this offseason. A few teams have the resources and a need for him. Houston, probably the obvious team with resources and a need for a true star. But as Bill Reiter notes here, Brooklyn should be in the mix, and he even considers them the true favorite. A more desirable market, also a chance to land him a co-star in Cooper Flagg if they do win the lottery. What? Bob, are you buying or selling the Nets as a more realistic trade partner than the Rockets?
I don't know. I guess. My preference, not that anyone's going to ask me, Nolan, he just stays in Milwaukee, becomes like that guy that they continue to build around. But Dame Lillard said, we talked about it yesterday, I think his prime years, unfortunately, are in the rearview mirror. I mean, the Nets, aren't they like kind of Siberia now in the NBA? They've tried the super team approach. Did not go well. Houston's the number two seed today in the Western Conference. And you add him, the Freak. I mean, look, they have Ralph Sampson. They had Moses Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon. The lineage of great centers is certainly there for Yao Ming. So I would prefer it would be Houston if he gets traded. But I'll buy Brooklyn. Have fun with that.
Go back to the NFL here. More fifth-year option news around the NFL. The Chiefs have picked up both Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis' extra year. But looking at McDuffie in particular, the latest example of Kansas City having a really good eye for talent when it comes to the cornerback position. Go back a couple years, Charvarius Ward. Well, he was undrafted, actually picked up by the Cowboys, but it was the Chiefs who saw the talent in him, swung the trade, and he started his career there. Legarius Sneed, a day three pick that blossomed into a great starter, but just like Ward, he got his big payday elsewhere. When it comes to McDuffie, higher status than those two, but he's in line for top cornerback money here in the near future, and it's a team that's been hesitant to pay that position, at least recently. Buy or sell, Vinny, McDuffie will get similar treatment to the other two, walk for a bigger payday in free agency.
I'm going to sell it. I think they realize, you know, I mean, their defense is kind of what's been keeping them going as of late. So I think they realize that, you know, when you have a great young corner, you pay the great young corner and you find a way to pay, you know, you find a way to not pay other people.
Now, with Karlaftis there at the same time, again, they'll be becoming free agents at the same time. Is there money for both? Are they going to pick one over the other?
Well, they'll probably franchise one and pay the other is what they'll do. I mean, Karlaftis, I don't think Karlaftis is an elite pass rusher because I don't think he's an elite athlete. But he's a going Jesse. You know, and he's a great combo, you know, with what they got. If they had another elite guy on the other side, you know, that would probably help out Karloftis. Because I don't ever think, no, I think always he's a Robin. I don't think he's ever a Batman.
And our last topic of the day for buy or sell, also in the NBA, the Clippers and Nuggets meet again tonight. Game 6 of that series. It's been very exciting to this point. Denver currently holds a 3-2 advantage. Got an outstanding offensive effort last time out where Jamal Murray was your hero. 43 points in that one. Nikola Jokic, I say this in jest, taking a backseat. He did have a triple-double, but 13-point triple-double. It's maybe below his standards.
Like a Magic Johnson level triple-double.
Yeah. 13, 12, and 10 was the final line for him. But Murray, like I said, I mean, he was taking more shots than Jokic, not just in that game. Their last two games, both wins for Denver. And as we know, Jamal Murray really has a knack for turning it on this time of year. Buy or sell, Bob, if the Nuggets are going to close things out tonight, Jamal Murray needs to be the most active on offense again.
I'll soft buy that, because you know who's quietly been a disruptor for Denver offensively in this series? Aaron Gordon. And they have Michael Porter Jr. that can rise up. And that's kind of, these games have been close except for the last one. And by the way, when I said Magic Johnson level, like I was just, Magic didn't score 30 points in his triple doubles. He was kind of in the high teens, et cetera, et cetera. I'll soft buy it, but you know, Jokic is probably looking more like at a triple-double of the 25, the 15, the 10. But watch Gordon and watch Porter Jr. being key here, because Kawhi Leonard's been outstanding. Zubac's been outstanding. Harden's been the star power, like Norman Powell, I guess, has to be the step-up dude. This has been the best series of the playoffs so far, but yes, I'll soft buy your thingy there.
Does it end tonight, or we get a game 7?
It's over. Stick a fork in him, Johnny. Denver advances, and they're going to... How about OKC's the number one seed by far? They just trounced the Grizzlies. And they get a tougher matchup than Minnesota's going to have in the second round between, no, with all due respect to Rockets fans, Houston and Golden State. How about that? Wild, wacky stuff. How about Aaron Rodgers hurries up and signs already? Because I'm sick of talking about him eventually signing with the Steelers. Is this inevitable? Is A-Rod looking for another place to go, perhaps? Will Graves covers the Steelers for the AP. How did the draft go? They've remade their running back room. Is it enough to hold up with the rest of the AFC North? From the Associated Press, Will Graves. Will, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in Baltimore again.
Yeah, absolutely, guys.
All right, let's get the old Aaron Rodgers stuff out of the way here. And I know Will Howard was drafted, and you know Mason Rudolph's come back for a touching reunion with the Steelers. But the assumption has been that Aaron Rodgers, it's not a question of if, but when he signs with Pittsburgh. Are these correct assumptions? I know he was on McAfee a couple weeks ago talking about he told all teams interested the personal travails he's dealing with. But when's this Aaron Rodgers thing going to finally get resolved?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, the way the Steelers approached the draft, it was like a very, as I wrote, it was a very public flare to Aaron. Just feel free to show up whenever you like. That is, I certainly think there's a drop dead date by the start of camp, but, you know, there appears to be no sense of urgency. They have three quarterbacks, they have two under contract, and they drafted Will Howard. They've said they want to go to camp with four. They are making no effort to go and find anybody else. It is basically, Aaron, whenever you feel like showing up, we'll be happy to have you.
Now, Will, it looks like, you know, they were getting Harmon and Black out of Iowa. I mean, they needed to find some people that can help stop the run because they were bad at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we saw them on the field, like, you know, you guys watched the Ravens maul them, right? Yes. And that wasn't the only game. I mean, the Chiefs did the same thing. And, you know, if these are the teams that they're, quote, trying to catch, if you can't stop them from running the football, especially Baltimore, you have no shot. And it's been Cam Hayward, you know, the Cam Hayward show, really, especially last year. I mean, Larry Ogunjobi was just never really himself last year. They like Keanu Benton. He's sort of a tweener, though. And they needed some big wide bodies to put up front, and, you know, athletic guys too. And Harmon certainly fits the bill, and Black is more of a, you know, a zero gap guy that's just going to literally stand up at the line of scrimmage and try to eat up as many blocks as possible, right? So but they needed some punch up front. I'm glad they identified their biggest need and then they went and addressed it. And that was, I'm actually kind of impressed that they avoided the temptation of taking a quarterback high in a class, as I'm sure you guys have talked about, is not, doesn't appear to be stellar, right? I mean, much like the same, the Steelers were in the same position 3 years ago. They drafted Kenny Pickett, and look how that worked out. So it looks like they've learned their lessons, which is, I guess, like that's an improvement, but it's just, you're basically running Aaron Rodgers for a year and hoping that you can find your long-term fix next year.
Now, I was talking to one of my buddies this morning who lives in Pittsburgh and from Pittsburgh and played at Pitt. He said that people in Pittsburgh are saying that Will Howard reminds them of Josh Allen, and I'm saying, no, they're not. Are they really?
I'm not saying that. Look, I watched him play a couple of times in person last year. I did a couple of Ohio State games, and he's not an untalented guy, but the arm accuracy leaves a lot to be desired. I know he was much better in the playoff than he was in the loss to Michigan. There's a lot that goes on, obviously, in those Michigan games that are just sort of, a little bit, make that game just different than the other, 11 to 15 that they play. He's got the size. Like, he's got the size, but he reminds me, maybe Mason Rudolph, but without the arm talent, at least from what I saw. Okay, so he will run sort of if chased and sometimes willingly, but he is, look, he's a project, and I'm not saying that he won't develop into anything. Certainly, he deserves every much the benefit of the doubt that everybody else that got drafted deserves. But, he was in the sixth. He was available at that spot for a reason, and it's not because he reminded people of Josh Allen.
That's a good thing. Now, I'll tell you what, I really like Caleb Johnson. I like that pick. I think he'll be a good addition to the Steelers.
Yeah, one of the things that Mike Tomlin pointed out, when you play Iowa, you know what you're getting, right? Like, there is no there's no complexity to Iowa's offense, right? And because of that, as Tomlin put it, he faced a lot of what he called Sunday fronts, right? Where the box was stacked at almost all times because there was no threat of the pass, right? And he was still effective, including in Big Ten games. And so I really think that is an important, he sort of fits the profile of Najee Harris, mm-hmm. but with the ability to be maybe a little more explosive in game. I think Najee, look, he was durable, and he was a good soldier. The way he handled the final year of his contract, knowing that they did not pick up a fifth year option, was commendable. And he got paid, by the Chargers, at least in the short term, for those efforts. But what they really have been lacking in the run game is like a home run hitter, and that's actually for a while, right? Le'Veon Bell was not a big home run guy. James Conner was not a big home run guy. So they would like to have somebody back there that could rip off 50 yards every once in a while. And I think, Caleb's not a guy he doesn't run a 4.440, but like in the game, he's fast enough, and he's certainly tough enough, and I think that's what won him over in regards to him going to the Steelers.
Now, Will, I really like the second-round pick. What is that going to do to Pickens?
Well, good question. I'm a little surprised they held on to him because just like as I mentioned with Najee, how he handled last year, knowing that he wasn't going to stick around. It seems very unlikely the Steelers would sign George Pickens to a long-term extension, to an extension before camp opens, right? It just seems very, very unlikely. And George, look, I've covered him now 3 years. He does not at no point during this process has the light come on in terms of, I need to grow up. And the idea that, maybe him playing for his future could maybe do that as an incentive, maybe. The flip side of that is if DK gets – 120 targets and he gets 70, how is that going to affect his market value when he hits the marketplace next year? And how's he going to react if we get into week six and he's got, 11 catches for 190 yards and a touchdown? And he's a volatile play. He's talented. Nobody's questioning whether he's talented or not. He's very talented. But the problem is, how is he going to handle not being the top banana anymore? And I think that is I mean, that is a wild card, and the Steelers are playing with fire if they think they can go into the season with him as their number two and the idea that he's going to be a good soldier.
Will Graves, Associated Press, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers and obviously the National Football League. Will, last thing for you, post-draft, sit here first day of May. How does the Steelers roster match up with everyone else in the division? Other moves to come, obviously.
You know, I still think they're going to – it's hard to imagine them being as good as they were last year. I mean, record from a record standpoint at this point. I mean, obviously it's May 1st, and we don't even know exactly what the structure of the schedule looks like. I mean, remember last year, they sort of had that nightmare, that really tough stretch in the second half that they knew was coming, and then what happened? They fell on their face. And that's how you go from 10-3 to 10-7 and getting whooped in the first round. I still think the quarterback situation, I mean, Rodgers makes them – I mean, I think that, like, in my opinion, I don't think there's a big gap between Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers at this point. I really don't. So why would you bring in a guy who is going to go on Pat McAfee's show – you know, once a week. And look, I talked to my friend, my AP colleague, Dennis Wozniak, that covers the Jets for us. And we had an extended discussion about Rodgers. And he said, look, when you talk to him about football, it's fine. But half the problem is you spend half the time asking the questions like, well, Pat, you said on McAfee this, or you said on McAfee that, right? And this is Mike Tomlin, he used to drive him nuts. Ben Roethlisberger used to do his radio show on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, which happened to be an hour before Mike would do his weekly press conference. And so Ben was the king of passive aggressive shots at his teammates, right? So Ben would say stuff on the radio, and then Mike would come in, and we would have to ask Mike about, hey, well, Ben just said this, and Ben just said that. And it drove Tomlin nuts to the point where the last few years of his career, Ben actually no longer did that radio show and just went on a different station, and it was much more jokey. It was not about, you know, it wasn't like an interview thing. It was just like sit around and you know, have a few laughs. So the idea that Mike's going to be able to handle that side of it, I mean, I just don't know. So I think they're kind of the same team with either quarterback. I mean, I would let's say Rodgers is worth maybe two more wins, but that might be the difference between 8-9 and 10-7. And you're still on the road in the first round of the playoffs against a team that's going to have a better quarterback than you. That's the reality. That's the reality where the Steelers are at. And until they figure that part of it out, I really don't think what the rest of the roster looks like matters that much.
Will Graves, keeping it real. Yeah. Talking about the Steelers. Will, appreciate the time. Will with the Associated Press. Obviously, we'll be talking to you a lot in the ensuing months Steelers rookie camps next weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Then OTAs at the end of May and all that good stuff.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Will Graves. By the way, he's talking about that stretch where the Steelers and the Ravens and all these teams had three games in 11 days. Ravens won all three of theirs. Hey-oh, but they do have the better quarterback, as he just admitted. Will we come back? Draft profile number two going to the University of Colorado, a guy that could be the Ravens punt returner. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15. Orioles beat the Yankees 2 out of 3. They won the series. They're off today, Kansas City. Coming to town, Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Talk all things sports with him. He's based in L.A. I'm sure everyone's real upset about the Lakers losing, probably more than they're anticipating the Clippers tonight against Denver.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Wester is a guy that, you know, what stands out about him is really his return ability. If you watch him, I think he's a twitchy, explosive punt returner. I think, you know, last year it became evident that we could probably get better there at that position. Feel like last year's probably I didn't do a good enough job making sure that we had a good punt returner on the team. We had some guys, but we couldn't get the right mix, the right guy to really do it. We think Wester has a chance to really come in here and be an impact punt returner for us. So excited about him.
Ravens GM Eric DaCosta talking about one of the 5 6 round draft picks the Ravens had here in 2025. And as you just heard, a guy that could come in and make an impact right out of the gate. We're going to the University of Colorado now.
Yeah, LeJonte Wester, Colorado, 5'10", 163. Ran 4.46, jersey number 10. He's a senior. 29 3/4 arm length, 8 5/8 hands. He's got small hands. 32-inch vert, 10-1 broad jump. His first 4 years in college were at Florida Atlantic. 2020, Conference USA All-Freshman, played in 9 games, 1 start, 17 catches, 114. 6.7 average, one touchdown, 12 kick returns for 260, 10 punt returns for 89. 2021, Florida Atlantic played in all 12 games, 9 starts, 65 catches for 702, 10.8 average, 4 touchdowns, 19 returns, 129 yards, 6.8 average punt return. 2022, Florida Atlantic, honorable mention all-conference, played in 12 games, 11 starts, 62 catches, 719, 11.6 average, 8 touchdowns, 14 punt returns for 136, 9.7 average. 2023, Florida Atlantic, American Athletic Conference Special Teams Player of the Year, first team All-ACC wide receiver and return specialist, had 108 catches for 1,168 yards, 10.8 per, 8 touchdowns, started all 12 games, had 14 punt returns for 278, 19.9 average, a touchdown. In 2024 at University of Colorado, year 5, honorable mention All Big 12, played in all 13 games with 12 starts. He had 74 catches, 931 yards, 12.6 average, 10 touchdowns. Strengths: he's quick as a hiccup. He's ability to make you miss. He's got great body control. He can track a deep ball, great speed, gets ball upfield quickly. He can find holes in the zone, quick feet, quick in and out of cuts, excellent quicks off the line of scrimmage, has good ability to separate, good in spades with ball in his hands. He'll catch over the middle, not afraid to take a hit, good on punt returns, gets ball upfield, and he can make the first man miss. He's got excellent run vision, productive. He can adjust to a deep ball. Great short area quickness, great acceleration after the catch on returns. Good route runner with quick body control. Caught a touchdown every 10.3 catches.
Nice.
Weakness: size, short arms, small hands, likes to body catch, confidence in his hands. He's got a small frame, not a strong runner. Struggles versus corners in press and then run blocking. In summary, I like this kid. He's not big, but very quick and explosive. Todd Monken will take advantage of his strengths. Slot receiver-wise, quick screens, jet sweeps. He's excellent in space and a good route runner. Not a big catch radius, so confidence in his hands, they are key. Plus, he's going to be an excellent returner. I think, Bob, because if he's your return guy, he's going to be on the field. So he's going to be on your 53, you know, he's going to be on your 47 game day. And in the slot, quick screens, and it's kind of like Zay. You want the ball in his hands in space because he can make you miss. He's fun to watch. He is not a big guy, you know, so I think Monken will have fun. You know, it'll be like having a toy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put him here. I can do this with him. You might as well use him if he's your return guy because, I mean, Bob, the dude has, he caught a lot of balls and had a lot of yards and made some plays. And after the only thing he's not good at, Bob, is catching outside his body. If you, like, most of his catches in his body, within the framework of his body. If he has to reach out or whatever, can be somewhat of a challenge. That's what's good about punt returns. You know, everything's in your body. So I'll be anxious to watch on Sunday, you know, the framework of his body. But he is extremely quick. You know, when I watched he and Peoples, I got a whole different view after watching them on film from like, can they help? I think they will both help the Ravens this year.
How about Eric DaCosta admitting that he didn't do a good enough job last year
with the punt return?
Because that was a problemo for them oftentimes. Injuries, inconsistencies, whatever.
Well, Ty Wallace became the guy, and then whatever, somehow, some way, Bob, he lost confidence or whatever, but he wouldn't go get the ball. And that's as important as the return is. Catching the ball and not letting it roll is just important because, you know, you may get, if you get 9 yards of punt return, you lead the league. But if the ball hits and rolls and goes 15, 20 yards, that's a negative 15 or 20. And if that happens a couple times, and all of a sudden, instead of catching the ball on a 30-yard line, you're back inside the 10, that's hard to make up.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, NFL lunch, get back to this Ravens post-draft depth chart as put together by Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic. Orioles are off today, but they did win 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, including last night. 5-4, we'll revisit that. And look at the American League East, the standings, the scores from last night. Bunch of baseball games happening on this Thursday afternoon. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talk about what's going on in his world, post-draft, NBA playoffs, and everything else happening, as Mike Harmon, never short on opinions.